Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal.
That's fine. You know what?
We're in the air, we're on the ground.
Let him
we're
have his moment.
In control.
Yep,
and when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl!
Last night they were.
Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one.
Yeehaw! Oh, that's a sweet sounding banjo today, boys. That's a winning banjo. A winjo.
I'll tell you what.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard, Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app. A jubilant Chris on the other side of the glass as his Dolphins came back from the dead to be a road team that wins on Thursday night football. How are you, everybody? Getting you ready for the weekend for the next 4 hours. Sheeman and Shepard show. We're 3 hours away from our Miley Cyrus kickoff to get you in the mood. Lots going on. Of course, we'll have our pigskin picks. Gabe Morenci will stop by. I'm sure we'll hear from Harry Carey. We've got Art the Bills fan with his weekend cooking tips to get you ready to watch some football. Got both the Gators, Florida State, and Miami all in action this weekend. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me at Craig ESPN and Pete Shepard at PSHEP 326. Pete, Chris, good afternoon.
I glowed all day. I told Chris off the air when I got in here. It's the first time that I have seen a Belichick disciple come out. And if I didn't know that was the Dolphins playing, I might have thought it was the Patriots. And it reminded me of the year we're on the Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
After the Patriots had lost the first two.
Yeah.
That was an impressive performance by the Miami Dolphins last night, by everybody. And I text Chris, after, which I usually don't do, after Williams caught that first touchdown pass, game's over. I said, they are not losing this game.
Well, I don't know if Dolphin fan felt it was over.
No, we didn't feel that way.
I did. The crispness and the attitude of how they looked, and then on defense, and then they score in the next possession as well. Very, very impressive, which is why you don't judge a lot of teams after 2 weeks. But this Miami Dolphins team, if they're going to play like that, with that type of crispness, and I'm not saying you need to have Fitzpatrick throw 90% completion percentage, but impressive all the way around, offense, defense, special teams. I was impressed. That was a well-coached, looked like a well-oiled machine, ready for business, not taking any crap. Not falling into the trap that, oh, woe is me, we're 0-2. And you cannot tell me that if Adam Gase was coaching that team last night,
no
the
way.
Same thing would have happened.
No way do they look like that.
And I want to back up just a smidge because both of you were ready to make a switch at quarterback yesterday before the game.
Pete. I said, if you don't get to do that to me today.
I just want to defend one small part. Okay, you can have whatever opinion you want about Tua and when to make the switch. I don't care about that. Where you all were wrong, and I think that was illustrated last night, is when you were saying, hey, put Tua in to spur and help the rest of the team, you know, fight a little harder. I don't think that was necessary. You saw clearly this team, offense and defense, plays for Ryan Fitzpatrick. The guys love him. Everywhere he's been.
I will grant you that, but I'm wondering also if they're playing for him or they're playing for Brian Flores as well. Like, let's let Coach know. We know. We get this.
I didn't see anybody headbutt Brian Flores, but I saw people headbutting Fitzy. The Fitzmagic was back. And by the way, did you see his attire after the game for the post-game interviews?
Yeah. Classy look right there.
I just posted it on our website under C-Notes at 99.3ESPN.com.
My only concern was, are you going to get first half Patriots Fitzpatrick? You're going to get the full game against Buffalo Fitzpatrick? And that's always the question mark with him. Now, that's the best game. And usually he starts off at first 2 or 3 weeks fine and then sort of fades out. Yeah. That's been his M.O.
Yeah.
And no one's expecting him to do what he did, even though it's only 160 yards. That's all you needed. That's what I don't know if you want to call it game management, whatever. Overall, the attitude, offense and defense, special teams, the way they looked. Now that's a team making a hell of a lot of progress from week one to week three. I mean, night and day from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, to what we saw last night.
I might have been more impressed with the pressure they put on Minshew all night. I mean, up front defensively, that problem seems to have gone away.
Well, for that one game at least, and they needed to do that because they were abysmal the first two games. But I think with a lot of teams, and I don't know, maybe the Eagles are going to fall into, although I'm still picking against, but maybe the Eagles are going to fall, and some of the other 0-2 teams are going to fall. Not fall, but get better in week three. It's going to be interesting to see how many 0-2 teams win this week.
Yeah.
But kudos to Miami. I'm telling you, they look well coached. They look ready to go, and that was a well organized, well disciplined team, and they played with a purpose. I haven't seen that out of them. I mean, yeah, the Patriot win, yeah, but it was just, that was different. This is week three. It really was almost a must-win situation for them to stay in the playoff.
The Dolphins were playing with house money last year, so you finished the season 5-4 over your final nine. Okay, that's great. You had some nice wins, like the win up in Foxborough, week 17. But you're playing with house money at that point. You know you're not. Last night, you had to come out, make a statement to your fan base, to the team, to the rest of the NFL, that this is a good football team. This is a good football team. I say the first 2 weeks, that was much more to do about the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills and how good those two teams are as opposed to how bad or how poor the Miami Dolphins are. I'm not saying that the Dolphins, I picked them to sneak into the playoffs, right, as a 7 seed, right? That looked like a team that could win 9 games right there last night.
You guys cost me Skittles.
I don't want to hear.
Who cost you Skittles?
Your Dolphins did.
I did not cost you Skittles.
Your Dolphins cost me Skittles.
I made such a compelling argument yesterday that the wrong team was favored. I said, screw the 3 points. You don't need the 3 points. Go alternate line. But Monday, lay the 3 points with Miami Dolphins.
Monday you had them out of the league.
No, I didn't. On Monday, I said, if you're going to pay all these guys on defense, they need to step up and show something, like Kyle Van Noy did last night, sack, fumble, recovery.
And you were ready to cut Van Noy
yesterday.
And
I said, hold on, it's week two. You know, give it some, no. Yeah, no, look, you got, but I don't want to hear from people today. This is what I hate.
Jags.
Don't give me that nonsense. It's just the Jags. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I look at how they were coached, how they played, the attitude. I don't care who it was.
All right, Dolphins fan, you can come out of the woodwork at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. We'll open the phones to you.
And this is what you're not going to do, Craig. You're not going to flip this and go, well, you said this earlier this week. No, Craig, I told you yesterday the Miami Dolphins were going to go into Jacksonville and they were going to win the game by double figures. I told you that.
Honestly, Chris, we didn't think you were serious. And I'll tell you why. Because what you said the rest of the week.
I thought it was smart aleck, Chris.
So did I.
Seriously.
I thought it was sort of
I didn't take you seriously.
I thought it was sort of
you're being sarcastic,
Chris, because of what you said earlier.
Track record is sarcasm.
I can only tell you guys what is going to happen. 62% against the spread at this point.
Do your Sports Center rundown. The phones are blowing up. People
I'm just saying,
talk.
Guys, Dolphins, fins up. Best team in week three so far.
If you're calling, hang on. Hold on. We got to do a rundown. Time for a Sports Center rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, the Miami Dolphins won last night, 31-13, first win of the season. How about that? Staying in the NFL, the 49ers are going to go with Nick Mullins at quarterback this week. George Kittle out again as well. Let's see what else is happening. Oh, we got Stanley Cup action tonight. Lightning look to take a 3-1 series lead on the Stars. Steven Stamkos will not play tonight in Game 4. And the Miami Heat look to close out the Boston Celtics tonight, 8 o'clock. ESPN, they got a 3-1 series lead.
All right, Dolphins, 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Breaking news, real world?
All right, well, he's busy. We won't have the sound.
No, no.
Breaking news!
Well, this is pretty big. Right, this is real world. Florida Governor DeSantis has lifted the COVID restrictions on restaurants and other businesses statewide. He also banned local fines against people who refuse to wear masks.
Good. Oh, well, maybe good. I don't know. I don't know what's right or what's up or down. I don't.
I just don't shoot the messenger.
No, no. So, yeah, we're moving forward. So, anyway. All right. He's getting the phones lined up. A lot of NFL news to talk about here today. I noticed Julio Jones, a game time decision for you fantasy football people. Screwing fantasy people again. Julio Jones, game time.
49ers here. This is who's not playing. George Kittle, out.
One.
Raheem Mostert, out.
Two.
Jimmy Garoppolo,
three.
Out. Tevin Coleman, out.
Four.
D Ford, out.
Five.
Dre Greenlaw, out.
Six. This is the defending Super Bowl runner-ups.
They're playing the Giants. If there's any time for the Giants to get back on track, and I think they'll be competitive in this game.
Chance.
This is it.
All right. Real quick, before we go to the phones, I must mention my attire today.
Yeah, what?
You got a lobster shirt
on. I thought you
on.
Wore a big – I thought you maybe went to the boathouse – and that was the bib that was left over.
Now, but instead, now, Pete Shepard, if you will look at this closer,
yes.
This is the shirt that Kramer wears in three episodes of Seinfeld, including You Gotta See the Baby up in the Hamptons.
Up at the Hamptons, absolutely.
And where the girl was out there topless,
like
Boutros Ghali.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Jane, right?
Jane. Jane's topless.
Yeah.
So I wore this shirt for a couple reasons. It hasn't fit me in years. I'm down 57 lb. I'm going to hit 60. It's unbelievable. The shirt fits. I wanted to wear it. After I put it on, I then started to do show prep. Today is National Lobster Day.
Oh, my God.
Did not know this
ahead
of time.
Sweet.
So, anyway, I just want to throw that out. But I thought you'd like this shirt.
I love it. I saw when you walked in, and it tickled my fancy. I love it.
All right, let's go to the phones. Fins up, everybody. We'll start with Rugby Guy, who checked in yesterday regarding the game. He's up now. Rugby Guy, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Fantastic.
Just calling to get my full dose of humble pie here.
Yeah, you were a Jags fan yesterday. You were the first one to call yesterday.
I'm still a Jags fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it was a route the other way. It was a route the other way.
Yeah, it kind of was. It was kind of tough. Now, did you feel it was a lost cause? Because I think a lot of Dolphin fans were waiting for Fitzmagic to maybe throw an interception early in the fourth, and then, you know, then now you get it within a score, but it never happened. It never happened.
I remained optimistic till around the fourth quarter, and just really started watching the Lakers game.
Yeah,
because he didn't throw any incompletions until, I don't know. He threw two all night.
Right.
And he was on target. And I text Chris, which I usually don't do. After the first touchdown, they went 12 plays, 84 yards. I just felt it. I felt it in the force. The game
you
was over.
You tried to jinx him is what you tried to do.
No.
No?
I've seen many an opening drive for the Lions and go, oh, okay, but we still got three more quarters to go, and then the bleep happens.
Yeah, but this was different. This was not the Lions.
I did not feel that way.
I let
the record show.
Yeah.
It felt great as a Dolphins fan to have an opening drive touchdown. Can't tell you the last time this team did that. And I haven't seen any stats. I'd venture to say it's been 10 years since the Dolphins have scored a touchdown on their first two drives of a game.
How about, I was going to say, when's the last time Miami had a 14-0 lead after two drives?
It's been a while. It's been a minute.
I'd love to see that stat somewhere.
Let's go back to the phones.
Long time ago.
Southwest Florida.
Jay Fiedler might have been quarterback at that year.
All right, Fins up, everybody. Dolphin fan Ray checking in. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Ray?
Ray, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Go
what's
ahead, Ray.
Up, Ray?
Oh, I ain't Ray. I'm Don. I'm the one that was telling Chris yesterday that he'd be walking in and smacking you with a bag of Skittles.
All right. Typo on Chris's part. All right, Don, welcome.
Don, welcome.
Well, thank you for taking the call, man. I love you guys. You guys definitely make my day much better. But if you look at my thread, I was saying this the whole time. I actually predicted the Dolphins by 10. I would have never gone this far, but I saw it coming. The defense has too many pieces in place. Flores is too just concentrated on making sure everyone gels together. It just took a couple games. You know, that was the preseason.
Did you really see it coming? Because I didn't see it the first 2 weeks.
No, I got it right here.
Oh, okay, okay.
Let me back you up here. Quote, okay. Dolphins by 10. Tua rides the bench. That was yesterday at 2:45. He said, I'll give you a 2-1 sandwich bet on it.
No, you're okay. Right. You're right, Don. Right,
and the first Chris's sandwich bet. Back how confident I was.
I'm not taking a seat. I want you to be right.
All right, Don, moving forward, though. All right, everything looked good. Are we going to rush Tua in? Is it all going to fall apart 10 days from now? I mean, how confident are we that this is the real Dolphins?
I'm very confident, actually. No, I don't want Tua rushed in. I think he should sit there and make sure, one, his hip is good and great to go. Make sure the line is gelled together. You know, you got two rookies, two guys out there, and Jesse Davis, that's still, hopefully he's going to be the guy of the future, but who knows? You know, he's been there for a couple of years. Look how great the line's been. I don't want to put Tua back there and risk him getting injured when we don't know if those guys are going to be the solid pieces.
All right, Don. Yep. Thanks for hanging in there. Well, appreciate the call.
Well, so far, so good. I mean, I think Dolphin fan, just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the week. And worry about Seattle next week.
Enjoy the 10 days.
Enjoy the 10 days. And I mean, if they play with that sort of attitude, that sort of conviction, even if they lose next week, I think it'll be competitive.
Moral victory already, huh?
Well, I think we saw a bit of a turning point with this team.
I think it's
coaching.
The offensive line has been a real bright spot for this team. Austin Jackson, he's made a couple of mistakes here and there. Yep. He's playing in just his third game.
Yep.
He underwent a bone marrow transfer for his sister who had cancer just over a year ago, so still kind of recovering.
Southern Cal kid, too.
From that, I mean, he has been fantastic. Offensive line was great, and the Dolphins dominated both lines of scrimmage.
Load management texting in. It was 2011, the last time the Dolphins scored on their first two drives. So 9 years.
Wow.
Seminole Nation says, when are you guys going to stop doubting Chris? All he does is give out winners. Wayne in Cape Coral, thanks for the Dolphins cheerleading video on the beach. Appreciate that. And Bob checking in. Let's pump the brakes. It's one bleeping game.
I will not pump any brakes.
Poor Charlotte Joe wants to know why we can't play like that all. We, meaning the Dolphins, play like that every time.
Well, why can't every team in the NFL play like that all the time? The key is being consistent. I think the Dolphins have made strides here. I think there's a turning point here. It doesn't mean they have to play 90% like that, but I think you're going to see a lot more efforts like that the rest of the way.
This is a team that scored 31 and 28 in their last two. I mean, Yeah. Buffalo is a good team. Buffalo is not the elite of the AFC. They haven't proven themselves to be that yet. But Buffalo is a serious playoff contender and, you know, 1A, 1B to compete for the AFC East. New England is a lot better than I think most fan bases thought at the beginning of the year. I don't think that it's that terrible that you lost by 10 points to the Patriots, and you really should have been closer than that in that game. And you lost by a field goal to the Buffalo Bills at home. I mean, honestly, last two games, not terrible for the Dolphins. Secondary was atrocious last Sunday. Other than that, hasn't been terrible.
Let's go back to the phones and speak to the Dolphin fans of Southwest Florida. Jerry, you're on. How are you?
Jerry.
Hey, good. It's Gary. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're good. Chris can't spell, but other than that, we're good.
That's all right. I have been a Dolphin fan since the very beginning of the Dolphins, and I will tell you, that opening drive is something I haven't seen in it seems like a seven, seriously. Take it down the field with Bob Greasy, and that was so nice to see. And then last night, you could just tell it was different. We got a fumble that normally the other team would get. We wouldn't get it. The other team was getting penalties that normally we get. I noticed linemen slapping our receivers on the back and our running backs slapping our linemen on the back. You know, after a good play, there was team out there last night that I haven't seen in forever.
All right. Yeah. A lot of enthusiasm. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the phone call.
You started off at 12 for 12 last night. Fitzy did, as we said. I think the caller's right. The texter was right. They haven't scored on their first two possessions in 9 years. Now, my only contention sometimes, and they're all great spots that he chose to run, but when he runs, and he does head first a lot.
He's very reckless.
Oh.
He survived an entire 15-year career doing it. It's just what he's going to do.
But don't you, I cringe.
I do too.
I cringe.
His head is harder than the average. Maybe there's some cushion with that beard. I don't know.
I cringe for any, no matter what game it is, no matter how I feel about the team, I cringe when I see quarterbacks run. I'm like, oh, God.
Two things real quick. I don't think that the referees had a very good game last night. There were some PI calls that were iffy, and it went both ways. The Dolphins were beneficiaries at times, and the Jags were as well. And to eject Cam Robinson.
That was ridiculous.
That is absurd. Yep. That is absolutely absurd to eject a player for that. Ridiculous.
You also had Chris Conley drop two passes last night that would have been first downs. He got flagged for it. Pass interference call, offensive pass interference call in the third quarter. Minshew fumbled on the next play.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But, hey, you know what? That's, you know, when you're playing well, you get those kind of breaks.
Let's go back to the phones. Brian, which Chris has spelled Brian on the screen. Brian, welcome. How are you? Fins up.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Joe.
Did Chris really say 9-win team?
I think he said that was their ceiling.
If they play like that.
They might squeak into the playoffs.
I said 8-9.
I thought we had a tough schedule. I'm a big Eagle fan. I just looked at your schedule. Your schedule is brutal. I see maybe 3-4 more wins for you guys.
Not if they play like that.
I disagree. I mean,
Have you looked at their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, look, they go at Denver. I think that's a winnable game. They've got the Chargers. That's a winnable game. They've got
next week Seattle. After that, the 49ers. After that, the Broncos at Denver. After that, the Chargers, the Rams.
Well, let's put that. All right. Well, you got your. Let's talk about your Eagles. If they play even close to what the Miami Dolphins win, maybe they can have it. Maybe they won't blow a 17-point lead of Washington, or maybe they'll. Will they show up this week against the Bengals?
I think this is a bad year for the Eagles, to be honest with you, because there's just too many injuries all over. But I'm not making excuses for them.
Yep.
I think we got Cincinnati. That's about it.
you hope Joe Burrow might school Carson Wentz.
Don't worry. I'm worried about it, believe me.
But I think if Miami plays like they did yesterday, Brian and others, they're gonna be competitive in every game.
Yes, they have difficult games coming up. San Francisco, look at the injuries from that team, right? They're crushed
devastated.
By injuries
devastated.
Right now.
Devastated. I think the Giants are going to win on Sunday. You're going to fly back to
that
stadium?
That's the Giants.
You're going to fly back to that stadium twice in a week? I mean,
do you get Denver without Drew Locke? I think you do. No Cortland Sutton? I think that's a very winnable game. I'm not afraid of the Chargers. I mean, they're probably right there on par with the Dolphins, but I don't think that that's a game that you chalk up to a certain loss.
Yeah.
Two more games with the Jets. You got the Raiders hanging out there. You got the Bengals hanging out there. There are still wins for this team.
My word of the day for Miami will be conviction. And if they play like that most of the time, even 85% of what we saw last night, they will be competitive in every game. I have no doubt about that. I still worry about Fitzpatrick hitting that high and then come crashing down. But you know what? Let's cross that bridge. Cross that bridge when we come with Dolphin fans. I can't believe I'm saying that. But enjoy it. You should.
A lot different tune than we were singing yesterday. All right.
I was impressed with I was just impressed to me with the coaching staff. That game plan they came up with was terrific.
Yeah.
And the fact that all the players bought into it as they should.
There's something for coming out in a spot where people are largely going against you, and you come out, you punch the team in the mouth, and you keep your foot on their neck for the rest of the game. I think that there's something to that you can build off of that. You can build off of successes. Winning breeds winning, right?
I heard that somewhere before.
Okay.
I don't know.
You got to start somewhere. So all you other stupid fan bases out there saying, pump the brakes, you guys don't know. Look, you think Dallas would rather be down by 39 points or whatever to Atlanta and then have the comeback? No, you come out, you play a four-quarter game, and then you build upon it.
Well, it's the same people I deal with, Hurricane fans. Oh, look at you, South Alabama. Blah, blah, blah. By the way, the best team last night overall might have been UAB. But there's a progression there. And then what they did to Louisville. And that's why I think Florida State tomorrow, I wish this game was later on in the season. But tomorrow night, the Seminoles are going to get waxed. They are. It's just not a good spot for them at this particular time.
Mark
I
the
think
tape,
they will continue to improve. I think they will get better by the end of the season. Bad spot for the Seminoles tomorrow night to be going into a sold-out Hard Rock of 13,000.
That's sold out. And, may I jump in with the Maryland Mike? I got to read this text. And, Pete, you're going to laugh when you hear this.
Oh, okay.
He says, I got two tidbits for you guys. First, Craig, you needed to see the movie, and this goes for all you paper lions out there, with Alan Alda. And he's a news reporter, and they let him try to be a quarterback of the Detroit Lions.
Alan Alda.
A lot of famous lines in the movie, and I think you'd love it. Yeah, it's called Paper Lion. Right. It came out 45 years ago.
I think I've seen it like five times. I don't know why, probably four by accident, but Alan Alda from MASH starred in it. I thought he was miscast in that role, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Even though he was younger and better. He didn't strike me. I mean, the George Plimpton movie was, that at least was real.
Yeah. So anyway, but thanks for the tidbit. Yeah,
we've seen it.
That 40 years ago.
We've seen it. It's a horrible movie, by the way. Horrible.
I don't remember.
The worst football movie ever is by far when he used to be Bruce Jenner, played the white quarterback at Grambling under Eddie Robinson. A true story back in the day, whenever it was. The movie came out in like 79 or 80.
Now remembered that.
It was a god-awful movie. The story is a terrific story. But the movie was absolutely pathetic.
Well, it was a future woman playing a quarterback. A white guy on an all-black team. There were a lot of miscastings.
No worse football movie ever than that. I can't remember the name of it. It was Bruce Jenner, played quarterback at Grambling under Eddie Robinson, the legendary coach. And he ended up having to start because a couple of guys went down.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to go through, you know, the whole interracial stuff and everything else back then. Yeah. But the movie, which I think would have been a wonderful story, made-for-TV movie, was just puke-inducing to watch it. It was so bad.
Two thumbs down by Pete Shepard. Got
more than that.
All right. Finns fans, again, the rest of the hour is yours. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Screw that. We got 9 days to live on this one right here.
No, at some point we'll move on. There are other games. There are other teams. We've got Gators, Seminoles, and Hurricanes, too. I mean, it's college football season.
Craig, not everybody can listen at 2 o'clock. You call in any time throughout the day. I'll make sure you get on air. We can talk about the Dolphins together. Whatever these two guys are talking about, clearly they don't know what they're talking about, both taking the Jags last night. When I'm sitting here wrong team.
We're done. We're done.
All right. Also,
you go 0-4 in pigskin picks if you do that.
By the way, we got 9 games up here now?
Yeah.
What happened?
Because who cares?
Isn't Pick-a-Palooza weekend like we do at Thanksgiving weekend?
Too many, we had to have 9 games. He switched one out.
Pete and I voted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's 2-1. I mean, your vote didn't matter.
Your vote doesn't matter. It was a close election, but my vote doesn't matter.
No, full disclosure, when I came in, it was already up there. So I didn't have a say in it either.
I don't want the Monday night game on, but we're going to do the Monday night game.
All right, fine.
It's not a democracy anymore. It's anarchy. Chris has taken over. He's the czar.
All right. Listen Sunday as well at 3:30 for the Buccaneers trying to join the Mile High Club up there in Denver. Buccaneers football in Southwest Florida, brought to you by My Shower Door. Want to see more? The Boathouse on Naples Bay, Creel Tractor, and Signs in One Day in Fort Myers off Alico Road. Sheeman and Shepherd warming up on a Friday. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
FYC.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Yes.
Fact.
Chris thought I was going to go somewhere else with that.
We didn't know where you were going at first. When you start with the F. Quick text here. Married 2 years, says overreaction Fridays and Mondays are always fun. Yes, that is the fun part of sports talk radio. It's why we do what we do for a living.
I said, I don't think it's an overreaction at week three to see the Dolphins play like night and day from week one. And play, I mean, there's been a progression. We admit.
Yeah.
Week one, you know, gets week two, much better against the Bills.
Yeah.
And obviously week three. So to me, It's the exhibition season that we talked about that didn't happen. Yeah. I think a lot of teams, and I probably should cut the Eagles a little bit of slack, but I won't. everybody else, I might. Unfair by me, totally. But I have to see it to believe it with them. But I am interested to see these other 0-2 teams, like the Bengals, and the progression that they have Philadelphia this week. A battle of 0-2 teams.
And you know where you're going to see a flat line? Watch the Lions. No improvement, no regression.
Well, that's coaching. I think that's what Pete's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
They've regressed since Patricia's gotten there.
Yeah, they were playoff.
He took over
team.
A 10-win playoff team, and
yeah.
I think that game.
That game's going to say a lot.
The Cardinals. That could be the ugliest game of the
day.
I have a feeling.
Ugly as in biggest blowout.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying by 40, but I think.
Now, you know what? I'll say this, Pete. I mean, the Lions are rarely shut down throughout this horribleness, the dark period of the last 57 years. They have been able to score points. Like, they'll lose. You know, they lose fourth quarter leads. They put points on the score. But Matthew Stafford could put points and opening drives together just like Fitzmagic did yesterday.
I agree. I could see 37-23. That game.
Okay.
Like that. Something like that.
But that wouldn't be the ugliest game of the day if we were 37-23.
No, but it could be like a garbage touchdown at the I don't know. I mean, they played them tough last year, obviously, a game they should have won.
Yeah.
Then 18
another
point
blown
lead.
18 point lead blown in the fourth quarter.
One.
Again.
Yep. But,
or a tie. They missed an extra point in that
but
game.
But this too. Is a better Arizona team.
And a worse Detroit Lions team.
I don't know. I don't know, but that's if I had one, if there was one lock on the board of everything that I like, I would go with the Arizona Cardinals at -5.5.
Yeah. You have to wait to the end of the show to get my pick.
Yeah,
because everybody's waiting for that. Actually,
which one?
My lock of the weekend
is going to be. Oh,
I don't know. I'll let you guys know at about 5:50.
Different mind.
I think you should do
Devontae Adams doubtful.
I believe I'm 4-3-1 this week.
Oh, yeah. Devontae Adams doubtful Sunday. Yikes. That's the fantasy football king from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hit Raiders on Monday. What was my Tuesday night pick? I think I went over in a baseball game.
Really? Well, all right. We'll have our pigskin picks at 4 o'clock. Gabe Morenci at 4:30. And we'll kick off the weekend with that. We did a few picks yesterday. We had a new segment yesterday at 5:30. I hope you liked that on Thursdays. We had a professional handicapper on.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pros versus Joe's segment. Yeah. You guys going with the over 52.5 in Sunday night's New Orleans Green Bay game?
I wish I didn't. That's my fault. You never know. Still could. You never know. But I still don't. I said this yesterday. You don't know about Thomas. You didn't know about Devontae Adams.
Arizona, this is on your board, laying the 5.5 with the Cardinals hosting the Lions, or is it in Detroit?
Hosting the Lions. 2 years in a row hosting.
Okay,
Detroit.
And then
screwed there too.
Going with the 3-point road dog Louisville Cardinals at the Pitt Panthers.
Love that.
Which I like that play as well.
Love that play.
I like that play as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Good times.
Wrong team is favored.
Let's not forget, we're going to spend a lot of time talking football today. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the Miami Heat are one win away from going to the NBA Finals, if they can get it, taking on Pete's Celtics.
Mine's down to 3 from 3.5.
They're 5 wins away from hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
From a parade.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that because the Lightning, they're only 2 wins away from a parade.
Yeah.
Can we have parades?
Game 6.
Maybe not.
And I think there will be a game 6. And I'm not saying the Celtics are going to come back. They've never come back. The only time they've come back 3-1 is against Philly in 81, which was a classic.
Means
series.
Nothing for this series.
Nothing. Well, okay, then neither does Miami's overall record of 11-0 when they've been up 3-1.
I agree. It means absolutely nothing.
It means nothing, but it's the first thing a handicapper will say. Hey, they're such and such, 11-5 against the spread in the last,
It means more because at least Spoelstra was the coach for some of those 3-1 series leads. But that's really it.
Yeah.
Now, it says game 6 is scheduled for Sunday afternoon, but I've also seen Sunday night at 7:30 if there is a game 6.
Yeah.
I prefer it be Sunday night, wouldn't you?
So what time did they have it?
One place says 7:30 on ESPN. Another place says Sunday afternoon. I would think it's going to be at night.
What's the Sunday night
ESPN,
game?
ESPN has the
Packers at Saints.
Packers at Saints.
It's a big draw.
But
you think Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers will pull?
Okay, but where's the better spot? You're going up against that one game, or you're going to go up against the entire NFL slate if you put it at 3:30 in the afternoon?
Which, by the way, it's a spectacular NFL card because we've got 8 1 o'clock games and 5 4 o'clock games in the late window.
And not only that, you got, for me, it's another time I don't have to go out. The Patriots locally again against the Raiders, followed by Tampa Bay at Denver. Local, just locally. Forget all the other great games. That's it's such an awesome day. We have a big brunch party set up at my buddy Jim's house first. And
wait a minute, what's the theme now? Your Patriots are taking on the Raiders. So what's Vegas food? You're gonna have casino chips?
No.
Came up with that.
Well, that's the thing. That's the beauty about Vegas. It can be anything.
Anything.
That's true.
So just a buffet.
Lobster.
Yeah.
Like a shirt.
239 says, I can't believe Chris hasn't played the Dolphins song yet. Up. He opened the show with it.
I texted him back. We're good. There's a lot of camaraderie in Dolphins Nation today. A lot of camaraderie. A lot of I don't want to say hugging, but you know that manly embrace, an arm around the shoulder while you're conversation.
At the end of Lord of the Rings where you just kind of love everybody. Yeah.
A lot of togetherness, a lot of cohesiveness in this Dolphin fan base. Yeah.
And when you go through pain together, that brings you together.
And none of us are saying Super Bowl.
Do you feel that way with Detroit?
Oh, all my Lions fans feel,
Yeah, there's a camaraderie that you get.
We feel like we can one-up just about anybody on the pain.
And I feel like it's a different type of camaraderie than, like, the Steelers fan base, right?
Yeah, like, we just win.
And they're just, they win all the time, and they're playing meaningful games. They've got a lot of bandwagon fans. That's what you know. When you find a Dolphins fan, no bandwagon fans on that train.
See, I've always said when the Lions do eventually win the Super Bowl, it may not be in my lifetime, the city of Detroit will go nuts. I don't know if they'll riot.
Oh, there will be some couches burned.
They'll go nuts.
Every fan base is bandwagon fans, with a very, very couple of exceptions. Maybe Green Bay, maybe St. Louis Cardinals.
There are no bandwagon fans in
bandwagon
Detroit.
You got fans everywhere.
No, there's not. Name me a bandwagon Lions fan and a reason to bandwagon. If you're a Lions fan, you're for real.
You're for real.
Because you've suffered.
I'm not. What I'm saying is, by bandwagon, I mean when they start winning, all of the people come out of the woodwork.
Right.
Oh, I've been a Lions fan since 40 years. No, you haven't. My friend Craig Sheeman knows.
Yeah.
You haven't.
You're right. The worst I've ever seen was Chicago Bull Michael Jordan fan. They weren't Bulls fans before MJ. No.
They were getting outdrawn at the same venue by an indoor soccer team.
I know.
How about Miami fans? Even back when they were good, it was like a Laker crowd. Come in halfway through the first quarter.
Oh, the Heat?
And then leave.
Yeah,
before
LeBron deal? Yeah.
That was about as fair weather as any fan base has ever been.
But Miami's kind of that way. The city of Miami fan base is kind of that way. The Lightning fans are not. The U has to be like undefeated, taking on a top three team in order to sell out the place.
Well, and again, you're right in a lot of ways. It took for them 3 years when Mark Richt was the coach in that 2 week span against Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, where they ended up, you know, after those two wins were second or third that week, and only now has that because I have a feeling if there were no restrictions, that Hard Rock probably would have been sold out or close to it.
Yeah.
On Saturday night. Instead, it is sold out, but 13,000 fans. That's all they'll let in.
Right. When did we get Roses in Bedrooms' son as
I just added him to the text line.
What? I did not know
earlier
that.
Family
we got Roses in Bedroom, Roses in Bedroom, girlfriend. We got,
better than Roses. What's the guy that rips Roses in Bedroom guy?
Locker Room Junk.
Locker Room Junk's got the girlfriend. I didn't want to get Rose's Bedroom Guy in trouble.
Oh, no. Okay.
Although he may have got the girlfriend. It's so confusing. But I didn't know his son was on board as a texter. That's great.
Sad Knicks fan. Don't call me a bandwagon fan when the Knicks start winning in 50 years.
Right? Okay. I hear you. You're on the record. And we could go back and test the record. Don't forget the Gators. Go Gators! Kick off their season tomorrow on the road.
Gators number one, Kyle Trask.
That's right. We're number one. Coverage starts at 11:30. Kickoff at noon, and the Florida Gators are presented by the Wilbur Smith Law Firm. Is Wilbur Smith a Gator graduate?
Yes.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I do
good.
Spots. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right. Good. That's what I figured. Glad to have him on board. Sound Street next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Thursday night football fins up, everybody. Ryan Fitzmagic with the 15-yard touchdown. A little play-by-play from the NFL Network.
Sets up. First and 10 at the 15. Pass is caught. Touchdown, Gesicki. And this is a determined Dolphin team coming in here to Jacksonville. What a start for this offense.
How about that? Hey, quick note on the broadcast last night. Every time I went to commercial break for 30 seconds, I had rainbow colors.
I texted Chris again.
Was that okay, it wasn't just me.
No. I just went, WTF, bars, question mark.
They weren't covering their network spot.
But it came back for a kickoff every time.
Yeah. And they missed it, though. They missed one kickoff.
They were always a second late.
They missed one kickoff return. They were in the middle of it. But I hate that because, first of all, you think it's TV.
I thought it was another power outage with the Dolphins broadcast.
Yeah. I don't know.
Here's Brian Flores afterward. Stellar game from Fitzy.
I thought Fitz played well. We moved the ball efficiently in the first half. Could have been better in the second half. But I thought he made good decisions. I thought he ran it when he needed to run it. I just thought he had good command of the offense tonight. But was it just Fitz? Like, there's 11 guys on each snap, so the O-line played well. We got contributions from a lot of different guys, the offensive line, the backs, tight ends, receivers. Everyone contributed. That's what you need to win in this league.
And here's Fitzmagic. He's having some fun, you think?
It's why I still play. I enjoy playing. Especially when you're having success, when you're driving the ball down the field, scoring touchdowns. I mean, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes, getting to go outside and play football with my friends. And, I think you could see it. Mike's in the room right now, but every time Mike scores a touchdown or makes a catch, the look on his face is like he's never caught a ball before. And it's fun for us to go out there and run around a little bit.
And you know what else I thought of? Because Fitzpatrick was quoted during the broadcast from the meetings before the game. He said, man, this Tua guy can do things I can't even dream of doing. And with his love of the game and his willingness to share knowledge and the talent that Tua has, that's probably got to be the most solid quarterback room in the NFL. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
It was a interesting stat and something I didn't realize. You know how many players the Dolphins have over the age of 30?
What? Nobody.
Not many. Nobody.
They have one. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everybody else is in their 20s.
They're the youngest team in the league. Yep.
Here's Doug Marrone. Our Jaguars will not go into a tailspin.
I think in this day and age, I think, these guys, again, it's a team that goes out there and they play to play. It might not be execute real well in the beginning, but, they got a lot of pride. They understand that, we're going to keep getting better and, keep working on those things that you've seen. So you're not going to – the one thing I don't worry about this team is kind of, vibes or hanging your head. I mean, I'm not going to – I know I'm going to do my best to make sure that doesn't happen. I didn't see that. I think we were just obviously we had a couple of guys that were injured. That was kind of – that always is tough, and then a couple of calls go against you, and, that's tough too. But we've got to be able to overcome those things.
Here's Gardner Minshew. Oh, by the way, so Joe and Troy did not wear beards or mustache, but the pregame show leading to him did, all four of them, even the chick.
Called it.
Yeah. Well, no, you said Joe and
okay. Sorry, I was off by 15 minutes.
No, you said the play-by-play. You was Joe Bonk and Troy Aikman would have beard. No, but the pregame show leading into them did, with Michael Irvin and
I did
the
not
three
watch.
Others.
I honestly didn't watch 1 second of the pregame show.
I just turned on my TV.
All about the Jags and how good they are, and they can push for a playoff spot, and this is a cakewalk. All this. Wow. I don't think any one of them picked the Dolphins to be within seven points of the Jags.
Fins up. Here's Gardner Minshew, says this mini bye week will be good to assess the inconsistent offense.
Yeah, those times, we get the ball moving, and then, something would just kill the drive. There's things we've done in these 3 weeks that have been really good. There's things we've done that are, you know, kind of killing us. So we're going to take this break to, you know, kind of look back, reevaluate, and move forward.
Okay. While this is going on, if you didn't watch the NBA Western Conference Finals were going on, the Denver Nuggets, I don't think, scored a bucket in the last 3:28. It allowed L.A. to wrap this up, have a 3-1 series lead. Denver has been down 3-1 three times now in the postseason and has survived thus far. Here's LeBron James, who's playing a little defense on Jamal Murray in the final minutes.
I know it was winning time, and Jamal had it going. You know, the kid is special. He has an array of shots, the triple threat from the three, from the mid-range and also in the paint. And for me, it's just, trusting my defensive keys, trusting my study of film, trusting personnel, and living with the results. So, I told my teammates that I had them, and everyone else can kind of stay at bay and stay home. And I was able to get a couple stops, and we was able to rebound the basketball, which is the most important thing.
Jamal Murray, in a losing cause, was shooting every which way.
He
right-handed, left-handed, off the glass, nothing but net, jumpers, driving. He can throw the ball up from any position in his body, and it could go in.
The reverse dunk layup thing that he did.
There was like three. I thought he was going right there, left and right there. It was amazing.
It was Jordan-esque.
Yes.
That play was Jordan-esque. Yeah.
Here's Mike Malone, the head coach of Denver, and the foul discrepancy and free throws.
Well, LeBron complained about it 2 days ago.
Well, now it's Mike Malone's turn to complain about it. Here it is.
Part of it, there were, possessions where we played really good defense and just didn't finish it, which gave them extra possessions, extra life, extra opportunities. The ability to defend without fouling. They went to the foul line 35 times. I think I'm going to have to go through the proper channels like they did to see if we can figure out how we can get some more free throws.
It was ridiculous. Because
that's very Phil Jackson, like that comment. I love it.
Well, he's absolutely right, because I think it was game one or two where the Lakers went to the free throw line nine more times. There's a big discrepancy. LeBron James bitching and moaning about that. It's the same guy a couple of years ago that went five games in a row playing without getting a foul called against him.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
Yeah. It is
Please.
Unheard of.
LeBron and AD had more free throws between the two of them than the entire Denver Nuggets team.
It's just ridiculous.
They had 28 – or they had – They had 28 between the two of them.
The game before, Rondo should have picked up two or three more fouls and got away with
Nuggets
it.
Nuggets had 23.
Yeah.
All right, very good. 1 hour in the books on a Friday, 2 hours to Miley Cyrus, 3 hours till the weekend is officially here, 3 o'clock hour, getting you ready for the weekend. Art the Bills fan will check in with his weekend cooking tips. We've got a college football quiz as well. Stay with us. And then 4 o'clock, Pigskin Picks and Gabe Morenci. We're loaded. Don't go anywhere. 239-337 ESPN if you want to jump on the show. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.